Garth Brooks' latest collection called Sevens is a country music crossover success. It was number one on the Billboard pop charts for 5 weeks in a row, the first time anyone's done that in more than 2 years. This week it slipped to number two. Rock critic Ken Tucker says that Brooks is the country superstar most intent on being a pop star, and he thinks Sevens is a shrewd but problematic move.
That old wind that's whipping out there, it's whistling your tune. That wind blew pyramids to Egypt and footprints to the moon. And that old star that you've been wishing on is shining mighty bright. But it's the fire inside your heart that's gonna lead you into the light. How you ever gonna know what it's like?
Sevens is the album that reorganized a record company. Early last year, Garth Brooks had completed his new album, but was feuding with his label, Capitol Records, in Nashville, over when and how to release it. On stage, the key to Brooks's appeal is to make himself look like a very aggressive guy who's also a very sensitive guy. In his business dealings, he apparently drops the sensitive part. Dissatisfied with the marketing campaign Capitol Nashville had come up with, Brooks withheld the album from them and insisted on dealing with Capitol's New York office, which he felt better appreciated his country-transcending status. Sevens was supposed to be released to coincide with the free concert in New York's Central Park that Brooks had scheduled for August. That concert proved a big success, attracting an urban audience of hundreds of thousands that ratified Brooks's crossover appeal. But his willful delay had thrown off the production schedule of Sevens, and it wasn't in the stores to capitalize on the concert. It finally came out last month with a first single that sounded like a stubborn guy's manifesto.
Sometimes you've got to take the heat. If you're gonna walk down on the main street, take the heat. And you see it through. Cause sometimes it comes down to what you gotta do.
It's a measure of Garth Brooks's drawing power that, even after the corporate temper tantrum he threw, one that resulted in a round of executive replacements down in Nashville, his album still went through the roof, streaking to number one despite competition from albums by Celine Dion, Leanne Rimes, and Barbra Streisand, precisely the sort of middle-of-the-road power players that Brooks wants to compete with. And this is where I must say I admire Brooks's grandiose ambitions. Unlike the competition, his big, overblown songs are meticulous in their details and imagery. They build emotions with some subtlety, as in this prime example.
Drove to the church in my suit and tie, but I just couldn't bring myself to go inside. So I sat alone in my truck across the street. Watch that chauffeur smoking cigarettes by that long white limousine. I could just imagine what was going on in there. Sunlight streaming through the stained glass on those flowers in your hair. And in less time than it takes a tear to fall, those bells rang thunder as they opened up the doors. Now I don't have to wonder anymore.
Garth Brooks's country music is as much influenced by Billy Joel and the Eagles as it is by Hank Williams and George Jones. Designed for mass compromise, it's not the kind of country I usually like. Add to this lyrics that frequently come across as rhymed glosses on the collected wisdom of self-help guru Tony Robbins, and there's a lot of stuff here, melodramatic and banal, that I don't have any use for. But for an overreaching egomaniac, he manufactures an awfully well-crafted product, and I don't begrudge Garth Brooks the millions of consumers that he satisfies.
Ken Tucker is critic at large for Entertainment Weekly.